Last week, we asked the ladies not to be jabbing their husbands. Now it's we'll turn the tables. Guys, it's not the night to say, it's not that day, but it is a day to think of how you could support and honor and love and encourage and pray for your wife, for your daughter, for your granddaughters, your sisters, the other ladies here in this church. What does the Word of God say about women and their role and who they are in Christ? There was back in, it was 1917, it was over 100 years ago, there was a little phenomenon known as the Conningly Ferry hoax. It was in Britain. Does anyone ever hear that? Early days, I mean, there's photography had been around for a while, for 50, 60 years, but two little girls cut out pictures from a kid's book and magazines, put little wings on them, and then went down to a creek, a glade area of their home, and took these little pictures with these really stick figures of these pictures of women. And they said, look, we found fairies, we found fairies. And, I mean, you look at them today, if you look at the pictures, it's like, people bought that? I mean, it just looks terrible. It's not the best special effects. But people bought it. There was a group called the Theosophical Society, a person you may have heard of, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who's the author of the Sherlock Holmes stories, was a big guy in this, and he was all excited. Everyone was all excited about this proof of fairies. And again, little girls are 7 to 10 years old. It wasn't until 1987 as older ladies now, they came clean and said it was all a hoax. Now, since then, lots of people had pointed out what a hoax it was. But even after they said, we made it up, we cut stuff out of books and took pictures of it and stuck them on popsicle sticks, even after they admitted it, some people said, no, there are fairies in your picture shows. See, sometimes people want to believe things. They want to believe a lie. We've been groomed in many ways to believe lies, and we men and women have it. And ladies, I want you to know today that I have good news for you that you've been lied to. Well, how is that good? Well, it's good because the lies bring slavery. The lies bring addictions and other issues, but there is truth that is freeing, and you don't have to believe those things anymore. What does it mean to be a woman? How has she become broken or dysfunctional? And then how is there redemption through Christ? That's what we're going to see today. Now, last week we saw the men bear the image of God. So Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, and there he's speaking generically as man, mankind, all of people. And then, very, very clear, there's no mistaking it, male and female, he created them. So it's one of those things I mentioned at the beginning of this series that there's some things that get left out in church history. I'm so sorry, it's embarrassing. But even in some older commentaries, you might see the verse stopping, people stop reading after the image of God, he created him. But it's very clear, male and female, he created them. So as also image bearers are the same for the women as they are for men. We saw that last week. So as we said, men have value, women, you have value as you're created in his image. You reflect your creator in language, in intellect, in authority over creation, as an ambassador as well, representing God to the world. You deserve to be treated as an image bearer of God. You know, this piece of cloth, we call it a flag, it's not our country, it represents our country. And people have died under this banner and for its sake, because they know it means more than just a piece of cloth. It represents something. And in the same way, we, and actually in a greater way, we all represent God. We are in His image even more so. You also have something that no man can do, and that you're also able to bear and grow new image bearers inside your own body. And I know there are exceptions and so forth. I'm speaking generally, but you've been given that honor to bear the living and make more of them. And then there's something else. There's something else that God did regarding women. And it goes into chapter 2, starting about in the middle of verse 20. It says, "But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him." I should stop right there. Because you remember one of the jobs Adam was given was to name all the animals. So they came to Adam, lion, elephant, cat, parrot, armadillo, and they came in pairs. And so Adam's seeing, okay, male and female, okay. Not seeing. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up its place with flesh." By the way, guys have all their ribs. Okay, just, I know there's a teaching that was out there that men are missing a rib. I mean, there might be some men missing a rib, but we got all our ribs, okay? "The rib that the Lord took from God, had God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." So look what's happening here. Adam needed help. This chapter 2, is before the fall. This is where everything was really good. Remember reading, going through the days of creation? Day 1, he made light, it was good. He made water, day 2, it was good. And everything's good after every day, and it was good. He made people, it was very good. It was all good. But then all of a sudden, it's not good anymore, because here's Adam, he's all alone. Adam, in a perfect world, Adam was not adequate. He needed help. He needed someone like him, someone who also shares in the glory of God, someone who could come alongside and be a helper and share in the blessings, share in the dignity. He saw all these animals. There was none like him. You know, practically, we could relate to this. Maybe as we see our spouse have a particular strength that we do not. You know, sometimes Trish will mention, almost in passing sometimes, she'll say, "Did you talk to so-and-so, or did you check in with his other family?" And I say, "Nope, didn't even think about it." She says, "You should probably do that. That's a good idea." I don't think about it. I was 8 and 9 kids, and I was doing my own thing and tend to think only of myself. But God brought me a helper to help me to think about other people. "Oh, that was so nice of you to call Pastor Joe and send that note." And it's like, it was my wife's idea. See, that's just an example of how that can work. Come along to help. It's not to rule him or be dominated by them. And we mentioned that wedding thing. You know, God didn't take a bone from Adam's head that she would rule over him, or take a bone from his foot that he would stomp on her, but from his rib that she would be close to his heart. Aw. Why did God use a rib? No idea. I don't know why he didn't use his spleen. I don't know. You know, it was just, use a rib. But it's kind of, he says that she would come along and be a helper. Now, some people object, "Oh, helper. Sounds like a slave." The word doesn't mean slave. In fact, God himself has called himself a helper to his people, to his creation. He uses the exact same Hebrew word. It is a help to him. Now, this idea, what is biblical? Some people talk about biblical feminism. What is it? What does the Word of God says? She perfectly reflects her Creator. And that's and she has strengths and as well as men, strengths and weaknesses, but she's relational. She desires and thrives in relationship. She also, comes alongside her man to be a helper because he needs it. He needs it. The other thing she does is again, this is a tendency, and I am speaking generally, but she tends to be nurturing. I feel this. Genesis 3:20, Eve is called the mother of all the living. And you know my story. My mom died when I was 10. And before that, she was really sick. And so I grew up without that influence of a mom. My sisters, Lord bless them, did their best just to take care of us. And, you know, made sure we ate and had, you know, clothes for school and all those things. But they weren't my mom. And it wasn't until I was 18 where another mom, a good friend of mine, her particular mom loved me and nurtured like a mom did. And I couldn't understand it. It's like, what happened is when I turned 18 and had to register for selective service, she cried. And I was, she did what? See, that's nurture. And I hadn't felt that for 8 years. But that's the heart that she had. It includes, of course, the bearing and raising of children, but it extends to all of those, that nurturing element. And then there's also a desire for beauty. And we're going to look at how inward beauty is more important. And this is touchy. It's one of those balancing acts. But remember, God loves things that are created, and he makes them beautiful. The things and slides even that you'll see up front here tonight, God made those things. Even really interesting study is to look how God when he commanded something to be constructed, a building, an Ephesus, there is some desire for beauty. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter 3, that make it be the inner part of the heart. And even that Proverbs 31 woman that seems so daunting, and we'll talk about her a little bit more, but even she took care of herself as well. There is that desire to reflect God in that way. Well, so that's what God set up. Well, how did she become dysfunctional? What happened? Well, Genesis 3, verse 6. It's in the garden. He's talking back and forth with his servant. They have one rule, one don't. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't do that. There's one wrong thing they could do. So verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some of her husband who was with her standing there like a bonehead, and he ate. Okay, I added that part. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the command was clear. And, you know, I don't know, maybe God at some point would have said, hey, Adam, Eve, it's time. I now want you to eat of this tree. We don't know, obviously, if that was the case. We do know that the tree of life, the other tree that was in the garden, is going to be in the new heaven and new earth. But maybe God was there. But regardless, the command is clear. Look, don't eat from this. Don't eat from it. And it brought, and really what Eve bought, the lie she bought, was largely true. What Satan said would happen, if you eat from this, you'll know good and evil. Well, at the end of the chapter, God says, they know good and evil now. He was telling them a truth, but he was leaving part of it out. And that's one of the ways he so skillfully deceives people. She desired wisdom. Boy, if I eat that, imagine what I'm going to know. This pride was there. And she ate and gave some to Adam. and she was deceived by her own admission. Verse 13, she tells that. Paul mentions that in 1 Timothy 2. She was deceived. So what's the consequences for this? You're going to summarize these. First of all, there would be great pain in childbirth. The comedian Carol Burnett said that having a child is like taking your lower lip and pulling it over your forehead. I was there for all three of my children. It hurts. So this honor, it is still an honor of bearing more image bearers, is now though tainted though with that pain. There'd also be enmity or friction or tension or disunity with her man. So instead of being this blessing, there would be a tendency to usurp, to take over. And she is also then placed under authority. Not that she's any less of an image bearer now than he is, but this structure is now in place. And it's a consequence of her sin. And by the way, it's not permanent. In the new heaven and new earth, that structure won't be there anymore. She is to seek, she tries again, speaking generally, please, to control and manipulate men, either through nagging, through sex, through passive-aggressive threats, etc., is trying to manipulate her world. Her relationships, one of the strengths of her, are going to be harmed. And then finally, there's going to be false standards of beauty. These are the reason why these are false is because they're unrealistic and they're changing as well. You know who's fat? Marilyn Monroe. She's one of the first so-called, I think there were others, I guess, but a sex symbol in her day. Today she's fat. Well, how do you know what the rules are? They change all the time. There's no concern generally in society for inner beauty that reflects the image of God. And lots of time and effort and money is spent on looking what some people considered beautiful, rather than looking first to reflect the Lord. For her and Adam, there became shame and separation, living in a broken world, guilt, death. All these things are consequences, and we adopted a value with unbiblical measurements. Well, how do we get back? How does she return to function, from dysfunction to function? And last week we saw with the guys, the simple yet very true answer is Jesus. Is to commit that committed heart to Christ. I appreciated the stories today about, yeah, I became a believer, but there was a time when I said, I need to commit my heart to him and to really believe what he said. Yes, that authority structure is still there. But in Ephesians 5, it doesn't end with, wives, submit to your husbands. He says, you're to be loved, ladies, like Christ loved the church. Well, how did he do that? Well, he went to the cross. He sacrificed for her. And Jesus died. Jesus died once. He died once and for all. But guys, it's every day. Every day. There is also a restoration when a woman says to Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to chase after you. I want Jesus all the time and make him that priority. There is a legacy of children that goes beyond birth. There's a verse, 1 Timothy 2:15. It says, women shall be saved through childbirth. It's not the best translation. Yes, it is the word saved the same way that we see, but it means more than that. There's other, just like you look at a dictionary and you'll see other translations. We know from the rest of Scripture that you don't need to have a baby to be saved. We know Scripture doesn't mean that. So what does that verse mean? Well, it also has the idea of preserved or building a legacy. Do you think it's by accident when they put a camera on a football player? Who does he say? He says, hi, Mom. Dads are important. Moms are important. But I got to say, there seems to be something that happens that a mom passes on to her sons and daughters. It's a legacy that goes beyond birth. Oh, what's the book? I didn't think of this until this moment. Marriage to a Difficult Man. It might still be in print. You ever hear Jonathan Edwards, Puritan preacher? He wrote exciting sermons like Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's like 9, 10, 11 kids. And this book, Marriage to a Difficult Man, is about his wife, Sarah. You know who was, they did a study. Her kids, I mean, there was senators, judges, doctors, generation after generation after generation. They trace it back not to Jonathan Edwards, but to Sarah. She preserved a legacy. You know what else, ladies? In Jesus, you are a fellow heir with Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 3, 28 and 29. Now he's talking broader in terms of salvation, but he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. And for a Jewish Pharisee to say there's neither Jew nor Greek, this was incredible. Just look, in this new age, new time, this new dispensation, this new time after Jesus' death, there's no longer God's people, just Israel. It's gone. The distinction's gone. You are now, there's no Jew or Greek. There's no slave or free. In a Roman environment where you had a slave class and a master class, it's gone. In Christ, it's gone. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ. All that legacy, all that the heir and inheritance is, I didn't read the whole verse, for you are now all one in Christ Jesus, and you are Christ. You are Abraham's offspring, heir according to the promise. You ladies have just as much of share as any man does in Jesus. She also brings honor to her household, Proverbs 31. And she also remains the helper. For those of you who are married, he can't do it without you. And for single women and actually really married as well, I want to encourage you to find satisfaction, to find joy in your image bearingness, if I could make up a word. And that means rejecting worldly criteria. Let me say something that is shocking to many people, men and women, but it's for the women. And many of you know this, but I see it all the time, especially with younger women. You ready? Ladies, you don't need a man. I mean, yes, we're created to be social. There is something that is built into our culture and our values that puts such pressure on both men and women, but on women to say, you're not worth anything, honey, if you don't have a guy in your arm. You don't need him. And we back it up more. We just talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about a month ago, verses 34 and 40. Paul says, man, ladies, it's better. It's better if you don't get married. Now, God leads and directs you for that. That's wonderful. That's fine. Paul says, hey, if you get married, that's great. If you stay single, that's even better. But don't adopt the world's value that says you need a man. If he blesses you that way or if he leads you in that way, that's fine. But the world says you're not valuable if you don't have him. God says you're valuable because you got me. You have Jesus. And in terms of these ideas of beauty, yes, strive for health, but abandon false ideas to be healthy or to be beautiful, false ideas to be beautiful. It's fine to be healthy. We are stewardships of our bodies to serve God in all different ways. But it's not good to make it an idol. And we mentioned earlier this idea of what is beautiful, this body image standards, they change all the time. The inner heart is really more beautiful. I tell you a story. There's a girl in my high school youth group. Her name was Kathy. Her last name started with J, and we called her KJ. We never called her by her name. We called her KJ. Most popular girl in our youth group. All the guys wanted to go out with her. Kathy, frankly, KJ, was not the prettiest. In fact, she really wasn't that pretty at all. She was kind of pudgy. But you know what? A blast to be with. She had the gift of encouragement. You just wanted to be near KJ. And she was the one that everyone wanted to take to the dances and to the proms and all those things. She was just nice to be around. Not the most pretty by any stretch, but her inner heart, she, and to this day, still keep in touch with her on Facebook. KJ reflects Jesus, and we all saw it. We all saw it. And you wanted to be with her. She had that inner heart that was so beautiful. There is a balance. Seeking beauty is okay. Again, mentioned the Proverbs 31 woman did that. By the way, I've heard ladies say, you look at this Proverbs 31 woman, and you think, how am I going to do all that? It's okay. You don't have to do all that. There are guidelines. It's not a checklist. But it's some of the things that she did. But this inward focus is a priority to reflect the Lord. Be like your God. You want to be beautiful? Reflect your Jesus. Accept your womanliness and reflect God, reflect Him in the way that He has made you. You don't have to buy that lie anymore of what the world says will make you valuable. Because next week, it'll change anyway. And also with that, don't let yourself be treated like a thing. You are not a thing. You are the image bearer of Jesus Christ. And if you want, just look, study, examine movies, television commercials, magazines, books about how women are viewed and treated. They're things in our culture. You are not a thing. You are created as an image bearer of the Lord. The extreme example of that, of course, would be pornography. Don't let yourself be treated that way or be thought of that way. And then encourage you, ladies, affirm these things to the younger girls with whom you are in contact, your daughters, your little cousins, nieces, other girls within this church. Disciple them. They need that. They need that from you to see that they have value in Christ. Congratulations, you're an image bearer of the Most High God. Our Lord God, I pray for all of us, for guys and the ladies that we have somehow adopted false standards, and we reject those, Lord. We confess them and we reject them. And Lord, if we find ourselves thinking along those lines, we pray for your Spirit to move in our hearts that we would see them, or through your word, or through someone else's message. But God, I pray that every woman here would leave thinking, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how important I am, how I am representing the Lord God by His word, by His decree. It doesn't matter what the world says. And for all eternity, to reflect the Creator, to represent Him. God, we thank you for making men and women, and for the differences and the similarities, and for the way that we can honor you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Next week,